keep your Bibles open. We're going to go through that passage. My name's Matt. I'm one of the assistant ministers here. It's great to see you this morning. Let's pray and ask for God's help as we unpack this passage. Heavenly Father, we thank you that we can come here this morning. Thank you that we can sit under your word together in fellowship. Be with us as we do so. Help us to grow. Help us to grow in faith and love. Soften our hearts and open our minds so that we can do just that. Amen. Well, over the Christmas New Year's period, I was able to have some time off, which was really nice. I had to work a few random days here and there between Christmas and New Year's, but essentially I got to have 2 weeks off, which was awesome. The first week I spent fluffing around the house, which just means I carried a hammer around without hitting anything, making my wife happy so she didn't call hire a hubby. The second week... You guys do that. Second week, we got to go away. I went away with family and friends. Good company. They had good company anyway. I had good company. They were great. But near the end of the holidays, Molly and I, we do this every single time. We talk about how good it is if we could do this all the time. No schedules, no routine, nowhere to be, nothing that we had to do. How good is this? Nothing to worry about. Just being free. Some people call it retirement. Although, if you speak to the... Wait, that's another part. Just wait. If you speak to people that are retired, they are busier than I am. Retired, they are so busy. My parents, a few years ago, they've still got a few years to retirement, but they thought they would get ready for it. And so they sold their house in the upper east side of Mount Druitt, and they bought property the other side of Windsor. Mum built herself this doghouse of a palace, 36 square meters. You know, she shows dogs and breeds them. And Dad, he bought an E.H. Holden to restore, and he built himself a massive shed as well. And they did that because they had a test run of retirement. Dad took his long service leave, and they just chilled. And they found that having no schedules, no deadlines, and no purpose, it's good for a time. But there comes a point where there is too much of a good thing. They needed to do something. When Wendy was born, I had the first 2 weeks off, which was great fun. Although Wendy, in the first 2 weeks, was a perfect baby, right? She fed every 3 hours. She slept when she was supposed to. And she didn't scream that much. We just changed her nappy and she was good to go. And so I actually didn't have all that much to do, which I thought was fantastic. This is going to be the best. And it was until lunchtime the first day. I couldn't handle it anymore. I needed something to do. And everything's like that. You can have too much of a good thing. You think it's amazing, but a point comes where it's too good and you can't handle it. Chocolate? You can have too much chocolate. Housework? You can have too much housework. I like doing housework. You guys are weird. Our housework, sleeping, too much of a good thing, and dare I say, it comes a point of having too much bluey. I don't know if you guys know the TV show. That is the greatest TV show ever, if you haven't watched it, but you can have too much of it. But there is one thing that we can never have too much of, and that is Jesus Christ. You can't have too much of Jesus. And as we hear God speak to us today, we're going to come to realize that when it comes to Jesus, there is never going to be too much of a good thing. Paul does everything he can to give the most of Jesus to those in the Colossian church. Today we'll be challenged to know Christ better, because I can tell you right now, you don't know enough. You're never going to know enough. You need to keep learning. We need to keep striving to know Christ better and to make Christ known to each other. Now, as we jump into the Bible, we need to understand what's happening with Paul and his life and what's happening with the church and the whole situation going on there, because it'll help us understand what Paul is saying and why he's saying what he does. I'm sure you remember a few weeks ago, as Josh started this series for us, he told us that Paul had never actually been to this church. He didn't plant it. He'd never been there. In fact, it was Epaphras who planted the church after hearing Paul talk about Jesus in Ephesus. So, Like when I have a problem in one of my ministries, I'll go to Adrian for his help and guidance as the senior minister. Epaphras goes to Paul for guidance as well. And in Colossians 4:18, the very last verse of the Bible, Paul says he's writing this letter in chains. He's in prison. Epaphras goes to him and finds him in prison. And he's there because he was teaching the Bible, the gospel of Jesus Christ, so that people like the Colossian church can be saved. And the problem that Epaphras comes to Paul with is with dealing with false teachers. There's false teaching going on in this church. And you can see that if you jump ahead a little bit to chapter 2, verse 8. It's very clear, actually, throughout the whole letter that this is what Paul is dealing with. But 2:8 says it very clearly. Chapter 2, verse 8 says, "Be careful that no one makes you captive through philosophy and empty deceit based on human traditions, based on the elements of the world, rather than Christ." Humanity in general, this is something we're pretty good at. We're good at making things up, or philosophy. I know those two things don't really go together if you're an actual philosopher, but to me, they're pretty close. We're great at that. Being able to argue things into or out of existence. Although some people are far greater, far better at it than others. I find it amusing, but I'm not that great at it. Adrian is a fantastic philosopher. You can spend 5 minutes talking to him about philosophy and things, and he can make you question everything you know about yourself. It's amazing to see. He's so good. But he teaches Christ. He knows that it is all about Jesus. And that's the amazing thing. And it's good, actually, that he's so good at philosophy, because when people come, Adrian is so quick to spot what is wrong and point out why, in fact, Jesus is still the answer. So it's great listening to him argue with other philosophers. But the Colossians here, they're listening to the false teachers and they're bringing the person of Christ into question. Who is Jesus? What has he done? They're bringing that into question. As Paul sits in prison, he does the most powerful thing he can, and he prays for them. And then he writes this letter to them. And Paul, in this letter, he gives us his great teaching, his understanding of Jesus, his Christology, what you know and understand about who Jesus is. And a lot of what Paul knows about Jesus, a lot of what Paul understands about who Jesus is, we've seen already. And we saw it mostly last week. But you know, I know it's been 7 days, and you know we've been reading our Bibles following that Bible reading plan that we've been given, and so we might be getting a bit mixed up. So we're going to refresh. So if you want to, it's going to be super quick, so I don't know if you'll be able to flick to the passage before, and we see Jesus is God. We see that in verse 15. Jesus created the whole world, verse 16 tells us. Jesus keeps everything alive and operating, verse 17. Jesus is the boss of the whole church, verse 18. Jesus was the first one to leave death and enter eternal life with his Father, verse 18. Jesus made peace between sinful humanity and the perfect God, verse 20. Jesus had a physical body and physically died, verse 22. And Jesus is the one who presents us holy and faultless and blameless, verse 22. Paul is pointing out, in my opinion, if that means anything, rightfully so, that Jesus is everything. Everything we need and everything we want can be found in Jesus. And it's with that problem of false teaching in mind and the understanding of where Paul is and his understanding of what Jesus has done for us that Paul writes our passage today. And he says there is no mystery. It's all been revealed in Jesus, and we need to continue to grow our understanding of Jesus. In fact, that's what Paul's ministry is all about. Pointing to Christ as the mystery revealed and pushing people to complete their understanding of Jesus and what he's done. Now, when I get up early enough in the morning, I usually get up pretty early, but my kids get up early as well. When I get up early enough in the morning, before my girls get up, I like to make myself a special breakfast. I have some, you know, egg white French toast with some berries on top and sugar-free maple syrup. It's my favorite breakfast right after cold pizza and ice cream. I love it. And I have it if the girls are still asleep, because It's the one breakfast that they will come and sit on my lap and eat the entire thing when they do, leaving me suffering hunger pains for the rest of the day. And it gets pretty bad if you come to the office and that's happened. Now, I could stop them from eating my breakfast if I wanted to, but I don't, because I know if they've had this is a good breakfast. It's better than jelly beans, which they'd rather. They've had this, it fills them up, and it keeps them out of the lolly jar. Missing out on eating that stuff, I suffer for it, but I suffer happily, and I suffer for them. As a parent, we're happy to suffer for our kids in that way. We give up so many things as parents, and we're happy to do that and suffer because of that for our kids. Think about the kids leaders and youth leaders out there now. They're leading your kids. You know what your kids are like, right? Settle there. Cat, whoops. They're out there leading your kids. They've given up their Sunday mornings. They've gotten out of bed early and given their time up so that you can sit in here and listen to God's word and unpack it together. They're suffering for your sake, for the sake of your kids and learning about Jesus. They love doing it, but they suffer as they do it. Being a minister, it's the greatest job in the world. I don't understand why everyone's not doing it. I think it's fantastic, but it does have its downside. As training up to be a minister at college, you're told not to expect to make friends. Ministry is not a place you go to have friends. Ministry is a lonely job. But I'm willing to suffer that, and I'll rejoice in the fact of having no friends if it means that, if it means that you guys know Christ better. Now, we're not in prison, and we're not actually in any direct danger. Our lives aren't any direct dangers. But Adrian, Mark, Josh, Peter, Jackie, and I, we suffer for you. We go through great pain so that you can know that Jesus died on the cross. He died for your sins. We do it so that you have complete understanding of God. Most of the time, you'll never see us suffering, and that's because we rejoice as it happens. We rejoice because our suffering means your faith grows. Paul goes through much greater pain than we do. He's beaten to the point of death. He's in prison. He's shipwrecked. And at the end, his head is taken off his shoulders. And he did it all with a smile on his face. And he did it for the churches like the one in Colossae, so that they can know Christ. Paul wants the Colossians to know he rejoices at the suffering he goes through, because it points out that what he is teaching is from the Bible. What he is teaching comes from God. People who come into the church who teach things that aren't from the Bible, they're not happy to suffer. They're not willing to suffer the things to go through that so you grow in that knowledge. They won't suffer. They will change their message to make you happy so that they don't have to suffer. False teachers aren't willing to suffer. Paul's ministry here, we see, is one he rejoices in, even as he suffers through it. And a big reason for that is because he is a servant to his ministry. Now we're going to come, I want you to come through with me as unpacking these next few verses. These verses can easily be misunderstood. And they have been many times. So we're going to go on this wild ride. It'll be fun, I promise. Now, when you have a look at verse 25, right? Verse 25, have a look down at your Bibles. He says, I have become its servant. I have become its servant. And he continues on to say that it was God who commissioned him to become its servant. So then, what was Paul a servant to? Read 24. I want an answer. What's Paul a servant to? The church. Very good. Use outside voices. All right. Inside voices, you should never use them. The church. Paul has become a servant to the church. God commissioned Paul to serve the church, which is great to hear. Here's a smarty pants fact with Matt. Minister. It comes from a Latin word, right? It means attendant or servant. So Adrian is here to serve the church. And the rest of us, the rest of the staff team, we're here to help him in that. So if you wanted to give me a pretty good job description, you could say that I'm the servant's helper. Now that would look great at LinkedIn, right? The website, Matt Borg, helper of servant. That's what I am. So we continue in the passage and we continue to work backwards through the verse. And how does Paul serve the church? Have a look. How does Paul serve the church? He does it by completing in the flesh what is lacking in Christ's affliction for the body. What does that mean? Does it mean what Jesus did on the cross wasn't enough to save this church in Colossae, and so Paul is making up the difference, and so that is why he's beaten and arrested and killed? If that's the case, do we need to make up in our servant what is lacking in Christ's afflictions? Should we beat down on Adrian? Not me. I'm the helper, remember? I made that very clear. That's why I made it clear first. He's there. He's not putting his hand up, but oh, there it is. Should we beat down? Is that what we're meant to do? But it can't be that. We've just gone through Paul's theology, Paul's understanding of who and what Jesus is. Jesus' death on the cross is all that we need to bring us back into right relationship with God and have our sins forgiven. Remember how we went through Paul's theology of Christ? Paul knows it's all about Jesus. And so what is he talking about? I feel like I need a whiteboard, but I brought pictures. God, yes, commissions Paul to serve the church. Paul serves the church, which is actually the people. And he serves the church in this way, by teaching and pointing them to Jesus. You with me? Awesome. Have a look at the end of verse 25. That was rude. Have a look at the end of verse 25 while I fix this. There we go. Should be up to it. He says he serves the church and he does that to make the word of God fully known. And then he says it in a different way in verse 26, the mystery hidden now revealed. He repeats it again in verse 27. God wanted to make known among the Gentiles the glorious riches of this mystery. Paul, as a servant of the church, is to teach the whole Bible and show the church, in this case, the Colossian church, the answer to that mystery and what that is. Now I love a good mystery. Where's the remote? Who put the keys in the fridge? Why did I come to the shops? But in every case, we know what the mystery is. And it has to be the same here. So before we look for the answer, we need to work out what the mystery is. It's how do we get right with God? That's our mystery. How do we enter eternal life? How do we avoid the wrath of God? So here is the big reveal. The answer to the whole mystery. The mystery of life itself. The end of verse 27. Christ in you. When you have an infection, chest infection, say, you go to the doctor, right? You get some medication and you take that medication and it works in you to get rid of the infection, to get rid of all the bad, unwanted stuff, to make you right, and it means you're not sick anymore. In much the same way, we are infected with sin. We get told by someone like Paul that Jesus died on the cross. We accept Jesus into our lives. We have Christ in us, changing us, so that God no longer looks at us as sinners, but as saints. Paul, he rejoices in his suffering as he serves the church by telling them that Jesus is the answer to all of their questions. Jesus is the answer to how to deal with death. Jesus is the answer to reconciliation with God. And if you haven't heard this before, please listen. We have all done wrong. We have turned our backs on God. We deserve death. But Jesus took that death from us as he hung on the cross. He didn't have to. He wanted to. Because he loves us so much. Jesus, he beat death. He returned to life and he brought us back with him. So turn to Jesus. Put your trust in him. Completely trust his death and resurrection and have eternal life with him and the Father. You see, there is no mystery. It's all being revealed in Jesus. So we need to continue to grow our understanding of Jesus. And this is the second big part of Paul's ministry. The first is revealing that Christ is the answer to the mystery. And the second is growing the church in their knowledge of Christ. Now, I get really agitated when I have nothing to do. So if I know that I have a free day coming up, it doesn't happen very often, if I know how I have a free day coming up, I find something to do. And when I am really struggling to find something to do, I find a tree to pull up. I love digging stumps out. It gives me purpose and something to do when there's nothing else to do. So if you come to church one day and that tree out the back's gone, it's because I don't have enough work to do. But I love it. It's hard and it's agitating, but I love doing it. I start with just a shovel. You know, in theory, I should be able to completely pull this tree out with just a shovel. But hours later, I'm getting physically tired. The work is hard and laborious. And so the equipment I'm using changes. I go back to the shed, and I grab a saw. And then I go back again and I grab an axe. And I go back again and grab something else. Until the point comes when I have nothing left in my tank and I can barely lift these things up to hack at this tree. It seems the tree has beaten me because I can't go on. But I've never lost to a tree, right? Never. Because when I get to that point where I have no strength of my own left, I pull out the chainsaw and I go hard at that thing. Now, it ruins the chainsaw and I pretty much need a new blade afterwards. But at this point, it's the power of the chainsaw. It makes the work so easy. What took hours and pretty much a whole day is done in minutes. The work was laborious, but it's done. So often growing people passionate for Christ, growing you passionate for Christ makes digging up a tree with a spoon look easy. Look at verse 28. Paul says, we. He's including the ministry staff here at Northmead in that we. He's including our congregational leaders in that we. He's including our gospel team leaders in that we teach, we work, warn, and we proclaim Jesus. And we do it to you. Even when you think you know better, even when you refuse to listen, we don't stop, we don't walk away. We preach Christ crucified. Ministry, it's hard work, it's backbreaking, and it's not sustainable. You can't keep doing it. Because dealing with people whose default is sin, empties your tank extremely quickly. You have nothing left. We can't go on. It is hard work. That is why, as a staff team, every Monday morning, we do Bible study together. We pray with each other. We continue to remind each other that as we labor in teaching and proclaiming, we do it not with our own strength, but as Paul says here, with God's strength. God fueling us, God doing the work through us. The only way we can do ministry is by the strength of God. Verse 29, I find it really encouraging. To me as a minister, to know that it's not through my strength that I continue to teach you the Bible. And it's also encouraging to you, because knowing that it's by the strength of God that I labor as a minister, you know I'll never stop. I'm always coming for you. I'm going to teach you about the Bible so that we can continue to grow, to continue to make your knowledge of Christ fulfilled, so that the day you meet your Maker, I will present you mature in Christ. To grow people in knowledge of Jesus, so that they're able to be presented mature in Christ takes hard, backbreaking work that only can be done with the power of Christ. And it's a real struggle. Paul here at the start of chapter 2 tells them straight. He says that he struggles for the Colossians. And he does so for those in Laodicea. In fact, Paul says he struggles for all the churches that he's never seen and hasn't visited. Paul cares deeply about all Christians. He cares deeply about all churches. So if he can't get to them in person, he instead struggles for them. He struggles for them by how we saw him struggling in chapter 1. He prays for them. I mentioned it, if you were here like weeks ago, I mentioned it a few times, I find reading struggling. It's hard, laborious work for me, but I do it. I want to be better. I want to know more so I can teach you. And so I struggle with it so I can adult properly. This is a struggle. This is the struggle that Paul is talking about. He wants to do better. He wants to pray deeper. He wants to pray longer. He wants to pray better than he did yesterday. Struggling with prayer so that those he's praying for are strengthened and deepened in Christ. So often we talk about struggling with prayer as we talk about struggling to get out of bed. We just don't want to do it. I struggle with it, which means I don't want to do it. As a staff team, we struggle for you the same way Paul struggles. Monday mornings as we read the Bible, we spend time praying for you individually. Not everyone the same week, but we go through the role and we pray for you. And we struggle for that. A lot of the time, it's as Paul struggles. Occasionally, we find it because it's very hard to do and we have lots of things on. But it's good we read the Bible first and remember why we're doing it. We struggle in prayer for you. I know a lot of people, I think 9 a.m. Might be one of the best groups at this. But you struggle for each other in prayer. How much are you struggling for each other in prayer? I know Mark prays for you guys individually as well, separate to the rest of the staff team. He struggles for you in prayer. Do you struggle for each other in prayer? We do it for the same reasons Paul does. To join you all together in love, which leads to complete understanding of Christ. As your ministers and leaders, this is what we are working towards. Presenting you mature in Christ, which means having full knowledge of Christ. We, like Paul, we rejoice in our suffering. We serve the church by revealing Jesus. And through God's strength, we labor in teaching the Bible. And we struggle for you each day. And we do it for one reason, so that Jesus is fully known. Each day we must be speaking Jesus into each other's lives. We must be reading God's word. We must be reflecting on what he is teaching us. We need to be asking each other what we're reading and what we've learned. Teaching each other at times, like over morning tea, what we've learned and learning what they've learned from the Bible about who Jesus is. This is why church and gospel teams are so important. So that we can encourage and teach each other. We need to have complete understanding. From this passage today, you see the intense work of a minister. But you see, we do it for you. So that you, Andrew, know Christ better. So that you know Christ better. It's so that you know Christ better. That is why we do it. A few weeks ago, Maddie Linda, she's a leader in the Fusion Youth Group. She was doing a talk. And she said something very profound, and it stuck with me. I'm going to share it with you. I'm going to leave you with this. She said, if you're sick of hearing about Jesus Christ and what he's done for you, then you don't know who Jesus is and what he's done for you. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you that you have revealed Jesus to us. Jesus is the answer to everything. Help us turn to him. Help us be grounded in him. Help us to continue to grow our knowledge and love in him, so that we can be presented fully and mature. Lord, we thank you for the staff and the leadership team that we have here, especially at 9 o'clock. We thank you for the gospel team leaders. We ask you to help them and support them as they labor in teaching and warning and proclaiming the news of Jesus. Amen.